This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
I thought it was constructive. I think he appeared to me to be open to trying to make the bill better. And he understands that he's got people come from all different directions, you know, within the Republican caucus. And it's going to take some work. And I think ultimately that's why the Senate leadership pulled it, is it's going to take a few weeks to get everybody together to try to figure out something we can all agree on.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul talking about his fellow state senator, a majority leader, Mitch McConnell, made the big decision today, and that's where we start here in America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a fabulous week so far. And this is a better one for some Republicans. They are breathing a sigh of relief because McConnell's decision, delay a vote on the health care legislation. Perfect time for Justin Duckham to join us from Talk Media News. Justin, how about this news? I think kind of a relief to some of those Republicans that were holding out. Is that the way it played out?
This was very interesting.
All right, we lost Justin there. There we go, Justin, we got you back. We lost you for a second. I guess they heard what you were saying. Repeat what you just mentioned.
I'm sorry. Before this took place, there was a lot of buzz from Republican leadership that regardless of how the vote was looking, they were going to be moving forward with this procedural vote as soon as possible. Likely under the assumption that going into the July 4th recess with this hanging over them was not going to be very pleasant, particularly considering they were going to be back in their home districts and were obviously going to be facing some pretty tough criticism over this. So this came as a bit of a surprise. There was obviously some holdouts who were certainly threatening this, but there was more of an assumption that McConnell was going to be doing sort of a last-minute round of deal-making with a number of the holdouts, trying to win them over with some, legislative ornaments that he could hang out of a tree and add into the bill in order to get this forward. But as a result, we instead, saw this delayed and without any real plan forward for how to get this done. So we had the senators coming to the White House today. We did not hear any, formal plans as they were departing. So right now, it's just kind of a situation where everyone's just playing the wait-and-see game.
Yeah, and the wait-and-see game with the recess coming up, I would imagine, how far could that go? I said the other day, listen, if I'm not Kreskin, but if I'm forecasting this, it could even be booted into the fall, couldn't it?
I mean, it certainly could. Right now, it is a dangerous game for McConnell trying to figure out how exactly he's going to make this palatable to his members. This is particularly hard because the opposition is split into two very different camps. There are people like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul who are holding out because they believe that this does not essentially go far enough in rolling back the Obamacare qualities of the legislation. And there are those who are saying that it goes too far, those who are expressing concern about the cuts to the Medicaid expansion funds, those who are concerned about, Planned Parenthood funding and whether or not that should be in the bill in the case of Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, and others, of course, who are just kind of bristling at the CBO score that says that about 22 million Americans are going to lose insurance under this. So how exactly we're going to craft that remains to be seen. And then, of course, once it's done, there needs to be, something palatable for the House as well. They've had a lot of issues in the past, and getting this through conference and trying to meld the two pieces of legislation into something that would work for both sides is certainly going to be, difficult to say the least.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. In the meantime, besides that, which is a big deal, this delay, of course, that's the major conversation coming out of Washington. But also there is the EPA chief, and that would be the former governor of Texas, Rick Perry, meeting with the chemical CEO right before, this is a story that broke, before dropping the pesticide ban. And there's all this conversation, too, that's coming out about, well, I shouldn't say that. It's Scott Pruitt, who is the Environmental Protection Agency administrator, who met with the chemical company. And, you know, there was all this conversation about him jumping into this position in the first place. So I'm wondering, because now there's more that, you know, there's more eyes on this. There's more being written about it. The AP took it and blew the story up. And supposedly he met with the CEO of Dow Chemical. And, you know, this happened way back in March, and then announced that same month that he wouldn't pursue that ban on Dow's pesticide from being used on food. So what does this mean now? I mean, what's the EPA saying to this? Because they have to be getting questioned about it.
You know, as you mentioned, this is sort of a later breaking story in the day. So I don't necessarily have the exact EPA response in front of me, but this is certainly something that, you know, will likely raise some pretty serious concerns. You know, there has been, you know, a lot of pushback against the notion that, you know, this administration is going to essentially be benefiting big business at the expense of people who they're trying to protect. And no area is that more important than when it comes to the EPA. So, you know, I think this is something that's certainly going to be a big issue. I think this is probably going to be something that they're going to have to be battling in the coming days. And, of course, this ultimately boils down to, you know, the fact that Donald Trump ran on the prospect of draining the swamp, something that he was very vocal about, and a goal that just seems to be slipping away from him more and more, you know, with each month. So I think this is probably just a way to give an example of, I guess politics as usual, but in the most cynical manner.
Yeah, I agree. Last one. Any news on who this new White House press secretary is going to be? Because Laura Ingraham kind of shoved it off and downplayed all the speculation last week that she wasn't sure she was so interested in it. So who's on the short list? Any names we would know, or is it even being talked about?
You know, this is something that has been talked about for a while. You know, Sean Spicer has probably the most dangerous job in Washington in terms of job security. But what we understand now is that Spicer is going to be promoted, is going to have more of a communications director-like role, ultimately, something that he hasn't publicly confirmed, but a lot of White House chatter has been surrounding that. You know, there have been a number of names that have been bandied about, as you mentioned, Laura Ingraham, Kim Guilfoyle, I believe, if I'm not sure if I got the pronunciation right, but she is a host on Fox. Who was briefly kind of floated for that as well. But, you know, the kind of dirty secret about this is that this is a job that not many people want. You know, dealing with Donald Trump and having to be a spokesperson and seeing how, you know, Trump very visibly micromanages Sean Spicer has probably, you know, scared off a lot of people in the D.C. Republican communications world who would usually be expected to give their left arm at the opportunity to speak for the president at the podium. And instead, like so many positions we've seen, there's, you know, trouble attracting top-level talent. But, you know, did you watch the press briefing today?
I did. Crazy, wasn't it?
It certainly was. But, yeah, Rick Perry should be the new press secretary. He had a lot of fun today. A lot of reporters enjoyed it. So I'm just going to put that one out there for my two cents.
I love it. And we're going to talk about that coming up. Perfect setup. You did a great job in that transition. Thank you, Justin Duckham.
Thank you.
Hang with us, everybody. We're talking about exactly what Justin said next on America Tonight.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aroni what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to Superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Can I put in something like, this is American music, take one. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you like American music? I like American music. Don't you like American music, baby?
Trip coming up this summer. I'm going to just throw this in here. Coming up at Forbes Books and Bedtime. In our next segment, we talk with Travis Kravitz. Travis Katz. He is the CEO of Trip.com. Trip.com actually is really, I'll tell you what, Trip.com is awesome. I'm not getting paid to say that, so it's not like an endorsement thing. It's just that I like it, and I was psyched to talk to him. Because I think that what they do so well is really, 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 they really cater to the millennials and to people who are looking for something off the beaten path. So it's not the obvious. You know, it's the cool places that you can go. You can pick up any guide and figure out, if you go to New York, where the Statue of Liberty is and how to get tickets and all that kind of stuff. But it's the off the beaten path stuff that you really can also get from Trip.com. So you'll want to hear that conversation. Like I said, that's coming up in our next segment. In the meantime, as we bounce back to Washington, it is all about health care and what's going to happen with this health bill. Trump says it's okay, the press, if the health bill doesn't pass, because, you know, now it's kind of like the taking a breath moment, which is smart. I've said this a couple weeks ago. For everything that I've worked on in the entire time I've done this show, so much conversation with people in D.C., so much conversation about healthcare from all angles. I mean, remember, my mantra here is left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, slapping labels on what you call yourself or no labels. It is our common denominator, our health. If you don't have your health, what do you have? And when you're sick and you have no clue what it is, or when you're sick and it's something serious, whatever, or something that's minor but could become serious, that's when you really start to reassess, wow, is my health care coverage really good enough, et cetera, right? So I think it's smart to re-rack this and look at it anyway and try to get some bipartisan support. So the president saying if it fails to pass in the Senate, he's not going to like it, but it's okay. He was talking to some Senate Republicans after they decided to shelve the vote on the health care till at least next month. I said I thought, you know, this could even go into the fall because they've got this recess now, so they're not going to have a vote at this point. And I think it's very smart and to wait because it made no sense with what's happening with the constituents who are blowing up phone lines, sending emails, trying to figure out what's going to happen with health care. And Mitch McConnell knows he needs support from at least 50 of the 52 Republicans to move forward with the measure. So he doesn't have that. Why take the vote and make it ugly? That doesn't make any sense to do that. So here's the thing. Wait. Hello, wait, and then re-rack it and figure it out and try to peel this apart maybe a little bit more layer by layer. I mean, I know it has been in some cases pulled apart, and the CBO dropping the bomb of how many people would be uninsured and all of that certainly really pretty much sent the red flags out that this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Even AARP says to the senators, look, we got our eyes on you. We're watching you. Don't vote for this Republican health care legislation the way it is. The chief advocacy and engagement officer for AARP, the face of AARP, Nancy Lamon, said, you know, just wrote a huge letter and said that we're urging all senators to vote no on the Better Care Reconciliation Act and start from scratch and craft health care legislation that ensures that robust insurance market protections and lower cost improve and provides affordable coverage to all Americans. Because what she pointed out in her note, and that's a huge, let's face it, that they have a huge chip in this game. Because they pay attention to what's going on and they monitor all the senators' votes and notify older people by reporting the vote in their online presence, publications, media, blah, blah, blah. So they have they wield some power. People find out through AARP. So she talked about, she specifically referenced the funding of Medicaid and Medicare and how difficult it'll be to pay for the insurance, and what does that mean for the American, and what could be done to craft the legislation differently. So that's smart. Very, very smart to walk away from that, to walk away from this vote right now and just try to rework it, whether it's from scratch or whatever it is, but just to put more eyes on it, focus on it, go for the bipartisan deal because it'll be more palatable. And perhaps better, and I hope it will be better if you get that, then you can reconcile with the House, and then you can get something that could be signed and become a law. But, you know, again, who knows? How about this? You know, as we watch, I'm like, you know, I never know the date. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't know if this is a good thing, speaking of getting older, or a bad thing, or what it is, but I realized today I was looking and trying to figure out, you know, what is the date? I don't know what the date is. And I realized that it's because I don't focus on time. I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, that time is an illusion thing, Einstein. And I lived in Vegas, and when I lived in Vegas, I thought the craziest thing about Vegas was there was no clocks hardly anywhere. Off of the strip, you could find clocks, but there weren't a lot of them. And of course, the reason why is because they don't want people to really think about time, because it's the land that time doesn't touch, I guess. That's what I'm thinking. But anyway, I will tell you this date is set. Roger Stone will testify about the Russia, what happened with Russia, part of the Russia investigation. So as a longtime advisor to the president, it's a classified session before the House Intelligence Committee. He had asked to appear at a public hearing before the committee and explaining the Trump campaign's ties to Russia, but that didn't happen. He's trying to explain the communications with hackers tied to Russia and WikiLeaks. And his lawyer said, we tried really hard. They're done with public. So now they're going to do this other way. They're going to come in. He's going to come in and testify in a classified hearing at the end of July. In front of this, what's being said is that the claim that I had no knowledge of the hacking of the email by WikiLeaks is a lie. And that's coming from John Podesta's testimony. And he's saying, with John Podesta appearing before the committee, I feel it's essential that I have the opportunity to rebut his serial lies. He said, I might not be able to sue a member of Congress, but I sure can sue the blank out of Podesta. And he's saying the claim that I had knowledge of the hacking of his email by WikiLeaks is a lie. And of course, Podesta's not saying anything about that. Now, he'll testify, and then they'll release, I guess, the testimony that they want the testimony to be public. And of course, Roger Stone is not shy about talking to the media. He may cherry pick who he talks to, but guarantee he will talk about whatever happens in that hearing, that's for sure. Want to take a trip? Then you want to tag along next, Forbes Books at Bedtime.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
All right, Greg, this is one of my favorite things to talk about, because anything surrounding trips of any kind I like, and I definitely have used trip.com. And so this isn't kind of massaging our guest who's coming on. It's just the truth. Travis Katz, the co-founder and CEO of trip.com, is with us. Hi, Travis.
Good morning. How are you?
So for people who don't know, let's talk about what is trip.com and why is your website so different from other travel websites?
Right. So trip.com is both a website and an app. And the whole idea behind trip.com is to help you spend less time in front of your computer and on your phone and more time getting out and exploring. So unlike other travel apps where every person sees the exact same list of ideas in the exact same order, at trip.com, we use 20 tribes to personalize the results. So you can, for example, say, I'm a family traveler and I'm a foodie and, you know, I'm on a budget. So what do people like me do when they go to Paris? Or, you know, I'm a nightlife lover and I'm into art. So what should I not miss when I'm in Los Angeles? We're able to use your preferences to personalize the recommendations and connect you with advice from like-minded travelers, and then make it easy to book your hotel or book a restaurant for dinner or book tickets for an activity. So it really serves like a one-stop shop. And then we, on our mobile app, even sort of take it a step further where we do smart recommendations based on what's the weather outside. So we know, you know, if you arrive in Hawaii and it's raining, rather than showing you the beaches you can't go to, it'll start off highlighting indoor activities where you can make the most of your day until the sun comes back out.
So, Travis, if I thought you were describing
the use of artificial intelligence in you helping me plan and have a better trip? Would that be accurate? Is AI part of what you're using here?
Absolutely. So we've built smart algorithms that learn over time based on your behavior and your activities, trying to give you personalized recommendations. So what we've seen is that over time, in the first wave of the internet, the whole idea was let's just unlock the information and make, all the possible hotels available for you to browse and make it easier for you to figure out what's out there. The new wave that we're seeing in technology is really about leveraging artificial intelligence to give you smarter recommendations. That most people now, the problem isn't being able to find information. It's being able to narrow down that information to what's most relevant to me. And really about saving you time. So we are completely focused on how do we save you time? How do we help help you cut through the noise and find the stuff that really is relevant to you? So when you use Trip.com, you can spend just a few minutes as opposed to your whole Saturday afternoon. And then find the places you wanted to visit and then really get out and enjoy them.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've talked about two things here, and I'm wondering how the marriage of them works, if it does at all. But you talked about tribes, and you've talked about artificial intelligence. Is there a link between the tribes and artificial intelligence? Do you detect which tribes I'm part of, or do I start by telling you which tribes apply to me, and then you use my preferences and the things I've clicked and chosen to continue to refine the recommendations for me? Explain how that works.
Yeah, it's a great question, Greg. So when you come to Trip.com, you have the option at the beginning of just telling me these are my tribes and this is what I'm looking for. Because with something like artificial intelligence, there's a learning curve where you have to interact with the app for a while before it learns your preferences. We sort of shortcut that with the tribes to let you sort of just tell us, look, this is the kind of stuff I'm interested in and help me start there. And then from there, the app learns over time. And so we've built the first, what we call a context-aware travel app. So the app knows when you open Trip.com, it knows not just, who you are. It knows your tribes. It knows if you've given us location preferences where you are. And it takes all the information that it can gather about the location where you are and what it knows about you to start to suggest ideas of things to do. So, for example, Trip.com, the content is always adapting itself. So if you're in your hometown, for example, if you live in San Francisco, you don't want an app to tell you about the Golden Gate Bridge or, the tourist sites. Uh-huh. You already know they're there. So we know if you're in your hometown and we show you cool local events, things that are happening this week, maybe there's a food festival going on that you didn't know about. But if you're a traveler or a tourist visiting the city, we highlight, obviously, the tourist attractions because then we know you're interested. Similarly, the app is aware if you're in a dense urban area. For example, we know if you're in New York City, nobody's going to go more than 6 blocks for a cup of coffee. But if you're in Bozeman, Montana, you probably have a car and things are more spread out. And it may be that you're willing to drive, a mile to get a good cup of coffee. And so the app takes all these factors, your location, your distance, are you traveling or in your hometown, the tribes that you said you're interested in, and really personalized recommendations, almost like a Netflix style set of recommendations. So you can browse through, get ideas for things you might want to do, and then dive deeper and read reviews and photos from other travelers, check opening hours and pricing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. One of the things we hear about a lot is experience economy. I'm seeing this a lot. I'm a speaker, and when I travel around and talk to these big corporations, they want an experience in as far as speaking is concerned, because a lot of millennials, but even beyond millennials, that's what they want, and I can imagine that's multiplied in the travel industry, is it?
Oh, yeah. It's huge, and I think you're really seeing this trend being driven by millennials, where the big thing that's changed, one of the big things that's changed with millennials is they've grown up with social media, so Instagram and Facebook, and that's become the new social currency, much more than, the cool car that you drive or the brand of clothes that you're wearing. Experiences really are the new currency, and so when people are traveling, even if they're traveling for business, they want to have really cool, unique experiences that they can post on their Instagram account and show off to their friends. And so a lot of our app is really designed around those millennial travelers. So we like to go deeper than just the top 10 things and really help you find unique things, whether it's, you know, a really cool craft cocktail bar where the bartender is just mixing up crazy things, or, you know, a great hiking trail that leads up behind the grocery store to a sunset view that just can't be beat. That's people are really looking for those things. And even on business trips, we're seeing sort of, there's this term that I hate, which is called leisure, which is sort of business and leisure travel. But you're seeing people, you know, go on business trips, but then try to tack on an extra day, you know, on the weekend to go see some things, or just go out at night and discover the nightlife of the city that they're visiting.
You hate the term, not the phenomena.
I love the phenomenon. I'm a big fan of people, but I just think it's a dumb word.
Yeah.
So when you take that and you look at the millennials and whatnot, obviously the travel industry has to change overall in the next couple of years. What do you think some of the big changes will be? You've talked about it with your app.
Yeah, well, I think one of the big things we're seeing is as the world is moving to mobile and you have these millennials who want these unique experiences, the model that most of the big travel sites, you know, the sites that have been around for 10, 15 years have been on is we're just going to try to have a comprehensive catalog, and we're going to leave it to the traveler to spend all their time digging through all of our data. And what we're seeing, and the other thing that we're seeing is they tend to be very focused on, we're just going to get a transaction. So we'll find you via an ad on Google, and you'll click on it, and you'll book a hotel, and then next year we'll find you the same way. And so you'll see a lot of brand loyalty. What we're seeing as things are shifting to mobile is that, one, you really need to go beyond the transaction. You need to think about the traveler not just as, you know, a credit card, but actually as a human being who wants to have a great experience. And what we do at Trip.com is really think about the whole experience from not just finding a hotel, but figuring out where you're going to eat, figuring out what you're going to do there. And we highlight the best things, whether or not we can make money from them. So we have things like, you know, hiking trails and beaches that we don't make any money from having those on our service. But those are really the things that stand out for people, you know, where if you look at the pictures people hang up on their walls or the things they post on their Facebook, it's not usually about the things you paid for. It's often about, you know, a great restaurant you found, or, you know, a great little alleyway where you sort of felt you were really in the local part of the city. So we really help you find those things. You're seeing some other brands, Airbnb is trying to, you know, sort of play around in this space. And I think for the sort of older travel sites, they're going to need to adapt and start to really think about their travelers as human beings and not just as a credit card, if they want to hold on to those travelers long term.
It's interesting to hear you say that, and we just have a minute left, Travis. We're talking with Travis Katz. He's the co-founder and CEO of Trip.com. We got our hands on an essay you wrote called Six Business Lessons Learned by Travis Katz, and we're hoping we can post it when we post this interview online. I want to run through three of these points, and then my question is, what's the single greatest lesson you've learned as a CEO and founder? So here's a couple of the points from this essay. Let your members challenge your assumptions. Don't just disrupt an industry, disrupt yourself, and I love this, get out of your own way. In really short, in 30 seconds or less, what's the single greatest business lessons you've learned?
I think the single biggest one I've learned is that you really have to talk to your customers and think about them as human beings and how do you make their lives better. If you can really focus on letting your users tell you what they care about and adapting your product to their needs rather than just thinking about how can we make the most money from each visitor, you're going to build a service that people really love and that they'll come back to again and again.
Travis Katz, co-founder and CEO of Trip.com. I'm going to go get some experiences. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust. the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction. But what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lautinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
About maybe one day I could be the MVP. Obviously, I was joking at the time, but now to be standing here with this trophy next to me is a true blessing, man. Unbelievable feeling, something that I could never imagine. So I'm just very, very thankful and just happy to be here.
All right, that's Russell Westbrook. And of course, Russell Westbrook is the MVP of what? The MVP of the NBA. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're rounding the bend here for our final segment on the show. And it's interesting, we started talking about healthcare, then we went to Trip.com. And, of course, there's a plethora of interesting stories, I think, that are happening across America. Some of them very, very sad, and some of them, believe it or not, happy when we're talking about people helping people. And that's what it's about, right? So let's go to Adam in New Mexico. Hey, Adam, what's shaking?
Hello. I just started to come out of left field here a little bit. Just I listen to a lot of talk radio. I appreciate your time. The thing that gets me is the topic that is not discussed is the criminals in this country who have free health care, free dental care, free education, and the rest of us have to pay our way. And not many people have spent time as a CO and have actually entered the cells, which are their houses, and spent time with them. And it's just, it's very bothersome that it's not a bigger discussion.
Meaning that they shouldn't get that kind of coverage when the rest of us have to pay through the nose through for premiums, etc.
Exactly, because the rest of us work for a living. They're put where they are by our tax dollars, and our tax dollars continue. I guess I'm a little frustrated why it's not a bigger topic than it is, and just wanted a little bit of a voice, and I appreciate you giving me that.
All right, you know what? It is an interesting topic, and we've talked to people in the prison system, and Adam, you know this. Private prisons, you're talking serious do-re-mi. So what does that mean? That means with all the money that is to be made in prisons, who gets the advantage of that? So think about it for a second, and the advantage goes to, ding, 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 the people who are in the prison, the private prison systems, because guess what? They're the ones that are making the money off of it, and they're the ones that are reaping the benefits. And you know, you do have a point, but here's what would be said back. Okay, so what's the suggestion? What do you do with people who are inmates who pays the freight for the inmate if not all the money that flows through those doors? But I think what's more infuriating, because that is an interesting discussion to have, and one that will never, Adam, in a very broad way, see the light of day, because there's always that the method of squashing it. I think, to me, the bigger discussion to have is, if we want to go down that road, how come people that are in the country illegally, in some cases, have better coverage than the rest of us? How does that happen, right? To me, that's an even bigger issue, because there's something that we can look at and say, oh, that's just not right. That's just not right. There's people, we want to argue about people who, are getting covered, subsidies, how much subsidies we have to pay, and why should we have to pay that, and all of that. So while we argue about that, then we see that when somebody comes into a hospital, who's getting the treatment for nothing? I mean, I've talked to hospital administrators who aren't great about going on the record, although some have, like Parkland Hospital in Dallas did this several years ago, where they sent a giant bill to Mexico for all the health care that they provided for people who were specifically in the country illegally from Mexico, trying to make the point of, you know, who's paying for this? And, you know, this is such a deeper subject that we could dive into this all night long, and we could dive into the problems with the prison system in general, but problems with health care coverage and in prison. What you would hear from some people is that the health care coverage isn't good, that they don't have good health care. There was a huge story that was done years and years ago. I wish I could recall some of the specifics of it, but I remember reading a story, and I want to say it was, might have been U.S. News. I was like in one of those car wash places and read it, where they were saying that, you know, mental health problems and health care coverage in the prisons are just atrocious, and people that are held in these correctional facilities don't get the kind of coverage they need for chronic illness, and it's brutal, and it's ignored, and it's awful, and there should be so much more attention paid to this. So you have the completely different view of what people would tell you in the last, you know, 40 years. To me, when you talk about chronic conditions and you talk about medical attention like diabetes, heart attack problems, hypertension, I could throw a bunch of different things out at you, cancer, of course, and in local jails, in state jails, and federal jails, how much are we talking about that are being treated for what? And it goes, I think it rolls in a bigger way into the huge cost of incarceration, right? Is it incarceration to get to rehabilitation? Are there people that are incarcerated that are getting health care coverage that had minor infractions, when we're talking about drugs in some cases, that were throwing money out the window for this? I mean, there's your bigger thing, you know, ultimately to talk about when we're talking about prisons and health care. But interesting, and thanks for calling in and bringing that up. In the meantime, as we kind of head for the exit of this hour, somebody sent me an email about this. It was from Joe listening to us in Vermont, and he says, Kate, I know you know a lot of people in Vermont. I've listened to you forever up here. And what did you think about Bernie Sanders and this FBI investigation into his wife and money and, of course, her tie to a college? Well, what they're looking into is whether she falsified loan documents when she was the president of Burlington College. So let's make sure we get the facts out. It's a liberal arts school that actually closed down last May because it went bankrupt and it didn't meet the accreditation standards. So now they're looking into, and they're looking into this whole loan thing and how much of a loan she got. And what does it, you know, was there something that was falsified in getting that loan? And he's saying it's just a witch hunt and it's ridiculous. And he actually decided not to be silent about it anymore. He was on CNN and he said, this is all political blowback. It's politically motivated. My wife is the most honest person that you'd ever met. And it's a sad state of affairs in America when we have, as he said, politicians being destroyed. But when you go after people's wives, that's really, really pathetic. He says that the whole inquiry into the whole thing was absolutely about politics. And he couldn't say much more than that. He said, but, you know, they get attacked. Wives get attacked. Family gets attacked. But the FBI didn't come out with any kind of a ruling on this yet at this point. And does it end up being just... does it end up just being something that gets thrown out, or is there more there, or whatever? I think because the college went bankrupt especially, it was very, very easy to jump on that. What a way to end this hour of America Tonight. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to the show. And a big shout out to somebody who I watched a lot and actually interviewed once, his family anyway, Michael Nyquist, dead at the age of 56, member Dragon Tattoo, among the many films you would have seen him in. Also Mission Impossible. Remember, you can always email me, americatonight.net.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.